I started last week on a new series on parenting for us as a congregation, and observed that we are covenanters in our parenting. We're covenantal in our approach, which means that we recognize and are committed to the fact that God is the one who has instituted the family itself. It's His institution, and so it's subject to His direction. But we also acknowledge that God Himself works covenantally, and that He delights to labor and to send blessing through families over the generations. And I pointed out last week that has a practical impact on our parenting. And there are two specific ways that I drew your attention to last week. That first of all, that it gives us hope and expectation. We let God be God and let Him do the work that He alone can do. And that is in regards to our children. And our hope rises from the fact that even though we are conceived and born in sin, that God does indeed delight to work in families and has given a promise to be a God to us and to our children after us. So our parenting is not without any hope or expectation, but to rest upon the faithfulness of God. Secondly, the practical impact is that it leads us to parent responsibly. And I pointed out last week that genuine faith is faith that is active, is living, and in a similar way, our parenting is parenting with hope and responsibility. We act in a certain way as God has directed us. In thinking about then where to proceed from there, I was struck just as I opened up Christian resources on the subject of parenting. I was struck with the number of resources that there are out there for parenting. I thought I might just open it up to the congregation and ask you to call out or to cite parenting plans or parenting books or books on discipline that you are familiar with. Let's open it up. Okay. What else? Okay. Yeah.
Future Man.
Good.
Quite some of Infant Child Training.
Good. All right. 30 seconds, we've rattled off five or so, and if I gave you some more time, we could probably come up with 10 or 15 more, just as you go through your thinking and things that you have read or items that you have looked at. And the reason I had you do that is that it is a subject that is near and dear to our hearts. It's very important to us, and so we the volume that has been written on it speaks to that importance, or speaks to how closely we pay attention to it. But at the same time, it can throw a note of confusion into the discussion, because each author will put forward his own plan of parenting and give his own perspective on the family, and sometimes it can be a little confusing trying to sort through the volume of material to determine directions on to take in parenting. And a little bit of it reminds me of the church in Corinth, of how people can get a hold of a certain parenting plan and become so loyal to that specific plan that they say, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Wilson, or I'm growing kids God's way. All of those have very good and appropriate applications, but it can also be sometimes confusing and sometimes divisive as you approach it. And just as I began a series on parenting, I want to to encourage you to see that, see how we're going to be implementing God's word in our plans for parenting. And I'm trying to read broadly and to bring the fruit of reading and labor together. And I'll also be opening up to the congregation to ask for your own insights from your own reading and from your own studies, with the caution or with the urging not to be defensive about a human person or about a human pattern for parenting, but to glean from a lot of good sources and a lot of good perspectives what you've seen in your own lives by experience and by God's grace, the things that have been true and helpful for you. In that light, I'd like to tell you a couple of the books that I have been reading and interacting with. One of them is Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp, and actually I had my list on another piece of paper, and their names just escaped me right now. Another one is Jay Adams, Christian Living in the Home. I'm trying to remember. I got a couple from the Navigators, and I'll try to bring those next week. And like I said, I'll be interacting with several different things and trying to bring the fruit of those interactions to our studies. To begin with, I'd like to interact some with Ted Tripp's Shepherding a Child's Heart. As he begins his book, he talks about getting to the heart of behavior. And it's a note that is very appropriate when we begin with parenting, because often the world approaches parenting as what you do to control your children, what you do to keep them in line and to correct their behavior. And the basic issue in parenting, though, is while behavior is involved, that's not the root of the issue or the heart of the issue. And Ted Tripp's book starts with getting to the heart of behavior, and I appreciate that note, and so that's where I'll begin today. I have some verses that I'd like you to look up and read out loud. Would someone take Proverbs 4:23 and read that for us? Raise your hand if you'll take that verse. Okay, Brian? Someone take Mark 7:21. Daniel? And someone take Luke 6:45. Laura? Begin with Proverbs 4:23.
Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Keep your heart, for out of it come the issues of life. That's it's a very poetic language that's being used here. When it talks about issuing, it uses a word that is like a spring that's gushing water, or a fountain that is that shoots out water. And let me just turn that around and ask you, what is the source of that, or where do the issues of life come from?
God's word.
We're guided by God's word, and our behavior issues out of the heart. And we'll see how our hearts should be guided by God's word. Focus in on that heart issue here and these other verses. Mark 7:21. That verse is important because pull it up again and read the list of what we might call bad behavior that and that comes from the heart. Read that list again. Very graphic outward action, adultery, fornication, and murders. They are sins against another person, but they are gushing out of the heart. Luke 6:45 gives further clarification of that. So not only outward actions, but the words that come out of our mouth are an overflow of the heart, whether they be good treasures or evil treasures. So what is stored up inside is what gushes out. Well, what does this have to do with parenting? I'll go back to my statement earlier. Many people approach parenting just as a means or what you do to control your children's behavior. That might be oversimplified, but it is a fairly appropriate conclusion as you look at parenting skills or parenting books from a world's perspective. But what these verses would suggest is that the basic issue is not the outward behavior, although that is included. The basic issue is what is going on in the heart. Behavior gets the attention because, well, it's what gets our attention, isn't it? That's the sour attitude, the disobedience, the defiance that triggers a response from us. It finally catches our attention that there's something going on, and the behavior gets our attention. We're alerted to the fact that correction is necessary, and that it's appropriate as well. It's, you know, there are a lot of things that do happen inside us that are not acted out, that are not subject to correction or to discipline. But on the other hand, if that is the only thing that you are aiming at in parenting, then you're missing not even half. You're missing the most important aspect of your child's life. And let me say this to the parents in one way, and then to the children in another way. Parents, you can probably think through your own life or your children's life and come up with examples of how you've been able to modify behavior, but you can tell that there's something else going on with your children. And you can tell that that something isn't right there, and you may work at the correction of the outward behavior, but then labor in prayer to draw out or to see how you can encourage your child to correct what's going on the inside and be active in participation for that. Let me turn around and say that to the children that this is a class specifically on parenting, and you may have sat down and tuned me out because you say, I'm not a parent. Michael, do you have any children? No. William, do you have any children? No. Rebecca, do you have any children?
No.
No. So this is a class for you too, because when we talk about parenting, we're going to do something. We want you to be here because it's almost like opening up the playbook in a football game and saying, this is how we're going to win the game. This is our game plan. And you know what? The children are not our opponents, but you're on the same team. And we want you to know what the game plan is. Now, some of you may have watched basketball games yesterday, and if you knew the other team's playbook, you would know exactly where to go to defend what they are doing, and you'd shut them down. Well, for you children, I want you to know what the playbook is. I want you to know what your parents are aiming at and why their guidance and their discipline is aiming not just at your outward behavior, but why sometimes they'll sit down with you and say, something's not right. And can you tell me what it is? And they may sit down with you, and there may be a specific action that is going to be disciplined, but they may not stop there. They may say, you know, what were you thinking? That can be said in a couple different ways, I guess. Hopefully in a good way. It can come out in a parents are sinful too. It can come out in a, what were you thinking way? But they may say, oh, what was on your heart? Why were you doing that? Or they may say, it's apparent that you're still angry. And I'm not sure why. Can you tell me why you're still angry and what you're angry at? So they may have dealt with the issue that you had. You talked back to your parents, and they corrected you for that and disciplined you. Then you may have had a run-in with your brother or sister. I know that never happens here, but just say, for instance, that might happen sometime. You had a run-in with your brother and sister, and your parents correct that, but they say, you know, I've noticed a pattern that you're not getting along right now with your brother or sister. And can you figure out why that is? What they're doing is that they're aiming at your heart, not just your outward behavior, because it is from the heart that the issues of life gush forth, and it's from the heart that come the treasuries of good or the treasures of wickedness, adulteries, fornications, and murder. And in aiming at the heart right now, our prayer is that God would lead you in a path of treasures, storing up treasures in your heart that are then acted out, rather than storing up evil and wickedness that one day would gush from your mouth and from your actions. And maybe they already are. So that is what we are aiming at. The behavior, behavior is important, but it is linked to a heart attitude, and the heart attitude and a heart that's right with God is what we are aiming at. Ted Tripp says this: a change in behavior that does not stem from a change in heart is not commendable. It is condemnable. You get the difference? A change in behavior that does not stem from a change in heart is not commendable. In other words, that someone might say, well, it's a good thing just to change the outside and leave the heart unchanged. So that's not commendable. It's condemnable. It's subject to condemnation. Now, in the process of learning, in the process of putting off the old and putting on the new, there are sometimes where the disciplines of life tell you to stop a certain behavior because you know it's right, and pray that the heart will follow along. And that may sometimes be the process. But if it stops just with the outward behavior, you are what Jesus calls a whitewashed sepulcher, a whitewashed grave. Jesus, in Matthew 15, has had a confrontation with the Pharisees. And do the children remember what the Pharisees were? What was their job? Sam? What are the Pharisees? They're teachers of the law. They were familiar with God's word. And maybe more rightly, they were familiar with the man-made additions to God's word and were careful to do it. But Jesus called them whitewashed graves, that on the outside they were neat and tidy, without any dirt or soil. But what is it that you find in a tomb or in a sepulcher? Who knows what you find in a grave? Abigail?
Like a mummy or something?
Yeah, a dead body, a mummy, something wrapped up in its death. Very different from what it looks like on the outside, isn't it? It may be clean and neat on the outside, but the heart is dead. So there, I would say, is another indication that what we aim at is a heart that is right with God, that then issues forth obedience and issues forth the good things of life, rather than just the outward obedience. I put it that way because it is right and proper for us to require outward obedience, and that, as I said, that's part of the process of learning. It's also just our own approach to God's law dictates that it requires that there is that there's outward obedience. But it doesn't stop there. We correct our correction and instruction go together so as to lead our children to examine not just their outward behavior, but to examine their motivations, to examine the desires that they have, to talk about things that are not necessarily outward behaviors, but to talk about selfishness and pride and fear and arrogance and any number of what you might characterize as inward sins that shape values and motivations and desires. Now, what I am encouraging you on is not a 12-step program, and Ted Tripp makes the point of saying this is, he's not suggesting an easy how to do it book, that in these five easy steps you'll have model children if you just do these things. He's suggesting, and rightfully suggesting, an approach to parenting that will engage you in this process from birth until they establish their own homes and beyond. That it's a relationship that will last a lifetime, that is based upon God's covenant faithfulness and our hope of what He is doing in our lives personally and in our children's lives. In getting us to interact with Scripture, I'd like to look at a couple of passages and to see especially how these passages summarize a godly attitude towards children, and let that begin to shape and begin to reinforce our convictions about our families. So again, I'll call out some verses and ask you to read these. Someone take Psalm 127, verses 3 and 5. And Betty? Genesis 33, verses 4 through 5. Bridget? Proverbs 17, 6. Anna? And Matthew 19, 14. Victoria? Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. And I hope these sound familiar to you.
Like arrows in the hand when they water, all the children like one to happy clean and the house is good, so
Good. That was Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. And let's just go ahead and read these other verses, and then I'll ask you how you would summarize the godly approach towards children. Genesis 33, verses 4 and 5. Bit more. Yeah, the children whom God has graciously given your servant. That's what Jacob says about his children. Proverbs 17:6.
Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their
father. And Matthew 19:14. Good. How would you summarize just the basic attitude that the Bible describes for parents to have towards their children? Ready? Heritage of the Lord. Coming from Him. Good. What else? Yeah.
That they're a good gift.
Hmm. They are a good gift. That's right. Anything else? Even that's a mouthful. We'll be expanding on that in weeks to come. Just our attitude towards children as a good gift, a heritage given to us by God, and the responsibilities that go along with that. I talked this afternoon about the importance of dealing with the heart in discipline and correction, and would like to ask you as a congregation to interact with that a little bit by describing your own observations about the centrality of the heart in directing behavior and how it's important to deal with the heart and discipline. If you can do so without exasperating your children. And,
as you've been talking about this, actually, for instance, it came to my mind, I mean, think of it for that sort of thing, but when my children were younger, I used to take great pride in the fact that they were in church, usually, and that they were very well behaved, and there was one instance where a dear man, our pastor of the church we attended before, he asked us to sit with his young daughter, and she was kind of wigglier than mine, okay? Wiggling away. And I remember I had to sit between her and one of my daughters, who was a friend, just because, I had to be in the middle. And I was very tempted to be puffed up about my kids. And as the service went on, because he was up conducting the service and everything, specifically, when the congregation prayed, I noticed this little girl bowing and kind of praying willingly. And there I am going, pray. And I remember thinking, I'm missing the point here. My kids don't like this, sitting still. And this little girl is a little wigglier, but boy, when that pastor says time to pray, she's in it with her whole heart. And that was such a chastisement to me to realize that I was missing the boat with my children.
Anyone else? Why is it easy to get sidetracked on behavior, on external behavior? Maybe not sidetracked, that might not be the best term for it, but why does it get so much attention?
It seems easy for the parent, because they don't have to worry
about
outward behavior.
Yeah.
I think it's the outward behavior that confronts us, and then, for those of you who go, I think our hearts take out more effort. So sometimes you just go and talk to us. It's like, our behavior is on.
Yeah, there's a emotional and spiritual and physical investment that happens as you are going to do this consistently, and it is a worthy lifelong calling, but it can be tempting to take the easy path and to just correct the outward behavior without doing anything else. I think I'll stop there, and a couple other discussion questions, but I may lead off with those next time. As we continue on this process, we'll continue to look at issues of discipline and issues of authority, just to tell you where we are headed in the weeks to come, and especially to look at our goal of having our children to be vibrant in their relationship with God, and to have that personal interaction with Him. I'll stop there and ask if there are